you. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming out so early on this last day of a very full conference. I'm going to be presenting today on behalf of myself and my colleague, Mary Schlock. And just by way of introduction, although everything says Sarita, I really much prefer going by Sarah. I have no financial relationships to this close. However, the work I'm presenting here was funded by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. That's the state Medicaid program. And they assume no liability for this and recognize that all the work is that of myself and my colleagues. This work comes out of lots of years of discussion with people in the state of Wisconsin about starting with what's the purpose of long-term services and supports. And certainly I'm going to say, well, okay, maintain current level of function or compensate for functional loss. Now we're saying we want to maintain people in the least restrictive setting, which is such a clinical term that kind of makes my skin crawl. But really, ultimately, what people in Wisconsin are saying is, hey, the purpose of Medicaid is not to purchase services, it is to support outcomes. And the question was, what outcomes do we care about? And so in conversation, then they said, ultimately, what we really care about is quality of life, that the ultimate goal is helping people to have the life that they desire. And the question was, well, how do we know if we're doing that? And they then contracted with us, us being the Center for Health Systems Research and Analysis at the University of Wisconsin, where this work was done, and I'm now with RTI International, so both are supporting this work. But we developed a program called PNEs, which stands for Personal Experience Outcomes Integrated Interview and Evaluation System, which uses a semi-structured approach to talk with individuals to find out what are their desired outcomes. Outcomes is not a word that resonates for most people outside of the researchy types. So we talk about what are your goals, what do you want your life to be like, what's important to you. And then once the person identifies those things, that information supports service planning, figuring out what kinds of supports and services do you need, if any, because a lot is just people living lives on their own, as any of us do. But even so, that's important for the organization supporting them to know. And then are these desired outcomes or goals being supported so that you can be having the life you want? PNE is a structure around 12 domains of quality of life, which are just sort of generally recognized aspects of quality of life that you'd find just about any system, that was developed, again, by myself and my colleagues at University of Wisconsin, which really is person-driven. We used to say it was person-centered, outcomes-driven, and I've really started switching to say it's really person-driven because oftentimes person-centered means something very different, still being clinically driven in a way. So I switched to saying person-driven, and it has been tested and found to be a reliable approach that results in valid measures. The measures address a couple of different dimensions. One is achievement. Given what it is you want your life to look like in each of these areas, is your desired outcome being achieved? And we said, well, there's lots of ways something, you know, lots of different achievement statuses. We combine outcomes that are being achieved or are in progress into one category because the managed care organizations who ultimately are being held responsible said either of those are good outcomes. We don't want it to look lesser than if something's in progress, which is perfectly appropriate. I mean, I remember talking with one woman who had a 10-year plan of how she was going to move out of the group home and into her own apartment, and she had markers and she was making progress, and, you know, it was terrific. Sometimes outcomes are new. Life situations change. People want different things. That's perfectly appropriate, as for any of us. You know, I finished my degree, now I want a new job. So it's not quite the same as something that's achieved or in progress because we don't want to hold the organization responsible for supporting something that's new that they didn't even know about until this moment. And then there are outcomes that may not be achieved because of various barriers, either legal or otherwise, and we try to encourage people to take that still as a starting point rather than an end point to have discussions about how can we get around these barriers. And then probably most important measure of quality is whether an outcome is being supported. I'll talk more about what that means. So when we measure supportive outcomes, we're looking at outcomes that are fully supported. For each outcome that's identified, we talk to the person, what supports do you need? or action steps or services or whatever you may need to help this, you achieve this or maintain this if you're currently achieving it. What's the source for that support? And is that support currently available to you? Is it adequate and is it acceptable to you as you define it? And then any given outcome is fully supported when all of the necessary supports and services are available and adequate and acceptable to the individual. And that's regardless of how they're obtained. So whether or not a service is being paid for or provided through a Medicaid program, all of the things must be in place for that organization supporting person to count that this outcome is being supported. As I said, PNAs is focused around 12 quality of life domains. I've sort of abbreviated the titles here. Each of these is actually phrased as a statement in the first person to remind everybody that this is from the individual's perspective. So the area about deciding where and with whom to live, the title actually is I decide where and with whom I live. But issues related to deciding where and with whom to live, making choices about supports and services, and how one spends one's day. Various aspects of daily life, having relationships with the people that you want to have relationships with, doing things that are important to you, including working, being involved in one's community, having stability in one's life, being treated respectfully and fairly, and having privacy, and then three areas related to health and safety, having the best possible health, whatever that means, again, to the individual, not to a clinician, feeling safe, and being free from abuse and neglect. The current study that I'm reporting on has information from 172 elders, who in tables are abbreviated as E, 186 adults with physical disabilities, abbreviated as PD, and 191 adults with developmental disabilities, abbreviated as DD, all of whom were receiving managed long-term services and supports through Wisconsin's Family Care Program, or integrated managed primary acute and long-term services and supports through Wisconsin's Partnership Program, or self-directed supports through Wisconsin's IRIS Program. And this is all in the state fiscal year 2012. We have a whole lot of information that came out of this, and this morning I just want to talk with you about a few key disparities that we noted. The first was in the area of employment. Now, one of the outcome areas that tells I work or do other things that are important to me. Originally it was titled just I do things that are important to me, and we said, and this includes employment. Because of the tremendous policy interest in employment, we were asked by a state to really highlight that. So employment outcomes get counted in that broad area, but we also look at them as a subset. People with developmental disabilities, a little over half of them had an outcome that they desired related to employment, meaning that they said, you know, I want to keep my current job, or I want a new job, or I'd like to find a job, or I want to reduce the hours I'm working in my job, whatever it was. Less frequently did people with physical disabilities identify a desired employment outcome, and 8% of elders did, and we thought that was really important because often there's an assumption that elders don't want to work. And we're really clear here that employment doesn't mean 40 hours a week, but it's doing something on a regular basis for pay. But employment is not unimportant to elders. Then of those outcomes that were identified, 72% of the time people with developmental disabilities said their desired outcomes were either being achieved or were in progress, much less often for the other two groups, for people with physical disabilities and elders. And that's a little bit concerning that they're not making progress or achieving their desired outcomes. And then we look at whether or not they're supported. And both elders and people with developmental disabilities, when they had an outcome related to employment, did get support three-quarters of the time or more. Less than half of the time did people with physical disabilities get support for the their desired employment outcomes. That doesn't mean they weren't being supported at all, but they weren't being supported fully in the way that the person needed. So there's concern there. And it's not surprising to me that people with developmental disabilities tend to be doing better than the other groups because that's been such a focus and from a policy perspective, really has been emphasized, you know, in the state as well as elsewhere around the country. But it is a problem that the other groups are not getting the attention and support that they desire. Then in several other cases where there were disparities, people with physical disabilities just are not doing as well. So in the area I decide where and with whom I live, virtually everybody had an outcome that was important to them. And that's a really basic thing and something people find very easy to talk about. But in terms of achievement or being in progress, 84% or better of all the groups were living where they wanted or were making progress towards achieving that goal. But in terms of support, people with physical disabilities are being supported only about two-thirds of the time, 68% of the time, and the other two groups were at around 85% of the time that they were being supported. It's hard to know from these data exactly what that means, and we could go back into the data and pull out those outcomes that aren't being fully supported and look in great detail at what it is. From a care planning purpose, that's exactly what a care manager ought to be doing, is going in and looking specifically, oh, the person said this is where he or she wants to be living, these are the supports that were identified as important to this person, and here's where they're not available or not adequate or not acceptable, I need to work with the person and help help them find a way to improve that situation. In terms of involvement with community, that was another area where people with physical disabilities seemed not to be doing as well. Again, only 77% had those outcomes supported compared to 90% or greater for the other two groups. Also having lower rates of achievement of those kinds of desired outcomes. So that, again, is a concern. You know, there weren't really significant differences in how often somebody had an outcome in that area. But something's going on there where people with physical disabilities are not having the same success as being involved in their communities as others are. We see, again, a similar pattern, somewhat similar in terms of having best possible health. Again, this is health from the individual's perspective. This isn't a clinician saying, you know, we need to get your hemoglobin A1C, you know, to 6 or lower, or we need to reduce your blood pressure to whatever level. And, you know, in a managed healthcare program, those are still outcomes that are being addressed on the clinical side, but this is from the individual's perspective. So it may mean, you know, people may say things, I want to have more energy, I'd like to have less pain, you know, I need my mood to be more even so that, you know, I don't always feel so, you know, uncomfortable around people or whatever it may be, whatever is important to the individual. But people with physical disabilities were more likely than the other two groups to talk about specific health outcomes that were important to them. But they were less likely to have those outcomes achieved or in progress and less likely to have them supported. Again, you know, significantly so, only 70% supported, you know, versus 83 to 86% in the other two groups. So what does it mean? So we, you know, didn't do that deep dive into for this individual, what does it mean, but looking at what kinds of services and supports are needed, and the N's and the column headings here are the number of outcomes total. So we had collected this information in the person's own words, then we went in and coded it, you know, the qualitative data, and created ultimately 22 different categories of services and supports that people identified. And across all groups, the same, was it 6 or 7 categories were the most frequently reported. And the differences across were not significant. But so transportation was the number one most frequently needed support for all groups. Then IADL support, social support, ADL support, health-related services, communication, and support coordination. And then, as I said, a number of other. When we asked people, where are you getting these supports? Again, the same four categories were most important regardless of the population. Self, family, residential care provider, although people were not all living in residential care settings by any means. That was not a criterion for the sample selection, but some were. And then the managed care organization, or IRIS, were also reported as important, but only about 10% of the time were they an important source of support. And that's an important thing to know, is that this is not about the organization coming in and saying, we are going to save the day, and here's all the public dollars we're going to give you and do it all for you. This is about the organization saying, we understand what you need, we understand all the sources of support in your life, and we're going to help be a piece of that. But we do see here that people with physical disabilities were the most likely report that they themselves were doing what was necessary, and least likely to report that family was a source of support, although even there it was 24% of the time. In terms of reasons the outcomes were not fully supported, keep in mind we looked at availability, adequacy, and acceptability. In all those cases, roughly twice as often was there a problem for people with physical disabilities as for the other groups. So what does all this mean? Overall, people with physical disabilities are the most likely to rely on themselves and least likely to rely on family, although their families are still very important, and the least likely to have their outcomes being fully supported. So the big question is, how can they be better supported? And at this point, I don't have an answer for that. But I do think that a person-driven approach like PNE's is a way to start that process by giving the care managers and interdisciplinary team members a way to understand what's important to the person, what does quality of life mean to this individual, what kinds of support do they need, including, again, they're doing it on their own. If we know they're doing it on their own or a family's doing it, but all of a sudden it's not adequate, it's not a matter of coming in and saying, okay, clear the way, we're here, but saying, you know what, if we give you a transportation voucher, for an extra trip or two a week, maybe that's going to free up some of the burden on your family and let them continue to be a good support to you down the road so the system doesn't break. It's just giving that little extra bit. But clearly there needs to be better attention given to the needs of people with physical disabilities to understand how are they different from the other groups, and what, maybe there just needs to be a different understanding of what their needs. May not be a one-size-fits-all approach. And PNE says that's a one-size-fits-one-person approach, that each person gets their own. And I'm not going to ask for questions now because I was told we'll do that at the end. So for more information, you can contact me directly, or you can write to PNE's at chiswick.wisc.edu, which ultimately will get to me, but probably quicker to write to me directly. Thank you.